بسم الله الرحمن الرحیم نحمده و نصلی علی رسول الکریم اما بعد الحمدللہ tonight is the 28th of June in the year 2022 and it's possibly the last night of the blessed month of Zulqa'dah so tomorrow night might be the first blessed day of Zulhijjah. So the deeds that we should focus upon in these glorious forthcoming 10 days from the Sunnah. The first is to fast. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam would fast the first 9 days of Zulhijjah, as mentioned by our beloved mother radiallahu anha. The second is to offer tahajjud. The hadith mentions whoever offers tahajjud during these 10 nights, it's like he's offered them on the night of Qadr. The third is to, in your spare time, to frequently utter the third kalima. Subhanallah, alhamdulillah, wa la ilaha illallah, wallahu akbar. You can add, wa la hawla wa la quwwata illa billahi al-aliyyi al-azim. And the fourth is, probably the most important, to keep away from sins. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, the greatest worshipper is he who keeps away from sins. So these are the four deeds you should focus upon during these next forthcoming blessed days. And it's the last day if you are offering a qurbani to trim your hair and cut your nails and to get rid of any unwanted hair. Because the sunnah is for those offering the sacrifice, they should not cut their hair or nails until after the sacrifice takes place. So this is possibly the last night and tomorrow the day to do this. So if you're sacrificing, do that inshallah. And we moved on to the 47th night that we're going through the exalted and dear life of the illustrious companion, Sayyidina Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas radiallahu anhu. And I've reached the point where I've mentioned that Amir al-Mu'mineen radiallahu anhu, he's given them the command now to march to the capital of Persia, which is called Ctesiphon, but it was renamed Al-Madain. So after spending 2 months in Qadisiyah, they set off. And like I mentioned yesterday, that they spent a few days in a place called Kufa. And the reason was, this is where the Holy Prophet Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was born. And he was also thrown into the fire. It's a place which is close to the land of Babylon. And Sa'ad went there radiallahu anhu and to pay his respects to that blessed place. And he recited the verse, وَتِلْكَ الْأَيَّامُ نُدَاوِلُهَا بَيْنَ النَّاسِ. Such are the days that we alternate amongst mankind. Meaning now it's back in the hands of the believers. The blessed force thereupon headed towards Buharsir, which the historians called the Western Madain. So putting it simply, the capital is called Madain of the Persian Empire. The western part of that is called Buharsir. Sayyidina Sa'ad radiallahu anhu was eager to open Buharsir, which Hafiz ibn Kathir called Nahrashir. It was considered the front line of defense for the capital itself, Eastern Madain. So Eastern Madain was the capital. The front line was the Western Madain, Buharsir. On the way, they met a battalion of Yuran, the Persian empress who had reigned over Persia before Yazdegerd. So putting it simply again, the Persian authority passed hands very quickly. One of the leaders was a female. She was an empress. Her name was Yuran. She gave the authority then to a direct descendant called Yazdegerd. So they've now met a battalion, and who is heading that battalion? The former empress, i.e. Yuran. So what happened? In Tabari in his Tarikh, volume 3, page 623, Hafiz ibn al-Athir in his Al-Kamil, volume 2, page 354. At the Persian's front was a huge lion named Mubarrat, belonging to the emperor himself. The Persians let it loose into the Muslims' path to frighten and hinder them. So what's interesting about the Persians stopping the report, they had many animals that they'd use on the battlefields. We mentioned the elephants. They also had lions. And this lion was huge. It was the emperor's lion. And they let it loose, right, to attack the Muslim forces. However, Hashim ibn Utba ibn Abi Waqas, rahmatullah alayh, he calmly approached the lion and swiftly struck it a fatal blow with his sword. The people watched Hashim's advance towards the lion and they admired his bravery and the strength of his single strike. They thereupon nicknamed his sword the Strong. So imagine they let loose this lion and you're expecting, you know, at least a couple of men to go forward to deal with the lion. And you'd expect a good few blows of the sword. So who goes forward? It was Sa'ad's nephew, i.e. Hashim ibn Utbah. And with one strike, he kills the lion. Think about it, how strong is that? Even in modern, you know, like if you get a lion attacking you with a gun, how many bullets do you need? To kill a lion with a single strike means the sword must be amazing. But the person who's striking must be amazing. So they nicknamed his sword the Strong. Sayyidina Sa'ad observed this, radiallahu anhu. He saw what his nephew had done and he was bursting with admiration. He thereupon kissed his nephew's head, upon which Hashim kissed his uncle's feet. So Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas, obviously very proud of his nephew, he kissed him on his forehead. But Hashim returned the compliment and he kissed his feet, Aisad's. After getting rid of the lion, the forces then clashed. And Hashim fell upon the Persians, defeating them and breaking them up into further smaller groups. Upon this, Hashim recited Surah Ibrahim alayhi salatu wa salam, Surah 14 verse 44. أَوَلَمْ تَكُونُوا أَسْقَنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ زَوَالٍ. What? Did you not before swear that you would not leave, i.e. this worldly life, for the hereafter? SubhanAllah. So let's look at this. So the lion is killed. Don't forget, this is a huge force. Another huge battle takes place. Not at the level of Qadisiyah, but a huge battle nevertheless. And alhamdulillah, the believers defeated the Persians. They scattered into smaller groups. And Hashim then recited this verse. So where's the verse? Surah 14 verse 44. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he says, أَوَلَمْ تَكُونُوا أَسْقَنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ زَوَالٍ. What? Did you not swear before that you would not leave, I, this worldly life, for the hereafter? So now, why did Hashim recite that verse? It's a part of the verse. Because the Persians thought their kingship is going to last forever. So when they were defeated again, Hashim said, instead of quoting his own words, he quoted the Quran. Because what? Didn't you swear before you would not leave? Now, what's interesting? What word does Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala use? He uses the word zawal. Ma lakum min zawal. Note in the holy verse, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word zawal, meaning the decline from the highest point reached by a heavenly body in its course during the day. So we famously use that word for the time of makruh. Because zawal is zawalna. What does that mean? We just use terms. It means the sun is at its peak, and the zawal time is when it passes. So the sunnah is at its peak and it passes. Why does Allah Ta'ala use that word here? Ma lakum min zawal. Namely, the ungodly, they are apt to think that their power will remain ascendant on account of some material advantages given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. But this has shown throughout history again and again, just proves this to be nothing but a fallacy. SubhanAllah. So think about it. Allah Ta'ala uses the perfect words in the Quran. Why does He say, "Ma lakum min zawal"? You would not leave. I.e. this worldly life or the hereafter. It means you think that you are the superpower. But then you're taught a lesson. So Allah Ta'ala, if you look into the pages of history, how many people thought that? We're here forever. Nobody can touch us. In fact, right now, who's saying that? Nobody can touch us. We're the superpower. So Allah Ta'ala is telling you, haven't you learned anything from your history? So look how beautiful. Hashim ibn Utba recited that verse. Look how well versed they were with the Quran. He goes, look at these Persians. What happened to their power? So Allah Ta'ala says, أَوَلَمْ تَكُونُ أَسْقَنْتُمْ مِنْ قَبْلُ مَا لَكُمْ مِنْ زَوَالٍ. You thought you was up there. The irresistible Muslim juggernaut moves stealthily on towards its objective. So Buharsi, Western Madain, thereupon quickly fortified themselves for the siege, which lasted just over 2 months. But eventually they abandoned Buharsil and fled to Eastern Madain. So what happened? After that grand battle, the Persians scattered, but they went to the place, the Western Madain. And now they didn't want to fight because we let the Muslims come. And for 2 months, they held out. But then they legged it. Because they're not moving, because we'll go to the capital, Eastern Madain. But why did they abandon Western Madain? Their abandoning Buharsir occurred due to a miracle. So what was this miracle? Al-Tabari in his Tariq, volume 3, page 118, Hayat al-Sahaba, volume 5, page 441-2 of the New English Translation. Anas ibn Hulais, rahmatullah alayhi, he said, after defeating the Persians at Qadisiyah, we laid siege to their fortress of Buharsir when one of their emissaries approached us and said, our emperor asks whether any of you would be interested in an accord that would secure for us the land from our side of the Tigris River up to our mountain, and also secure for you the land from your side of the Tigris River up to your mountain. Are your bellies not full? May God never fill your belly. So what's happened? So they're besieging the Western Madain, Buharsir. And they've sent a message now. And basically they're saying, look, you've got half, we've got half. He goes, aren't your bellies full yet? Because may God never fill your belly. The report continues, Abu Mufazzir Aswad ibn Qutba. So now this name is important to remember. Abu Mufazzir Aswad ibn Qutba, rahmatullah alayh. He stepped ahead of others and he talked to the emissary. So don't forget, the emissary brought the message. Half of it for us, half for you. May your bellies never get full. So this man walks forward, he's a tabi'in. Subhanallah, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on his tongue words that neither he knew nor is knew anything about. So the emissary said what he's got to say on the Persian's behalf. Abu Mufazzir steps forward and he says things. And everybody's thinking, what did he just say? They didn't understand what he said. And even he didn't know. The emissary then listened. He returned. And we saw the people shortly thereafter from the city leaving. Aye, for Al-Madain. So we turned and we said, oh Abu Mufazzir, what did you say to him? Aye, that have made them react like this. So what's happened? He said something to the emissary. The emissary got shook. He went back, and when he passed the message on, they bottled it. They left. So they goes, what did Abu Mufazzir say? What did you say? So he replied, I swear by the being who sent Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam with the truth. I have no idea what I said. All that I know is that a special sakina descended upon me. I am, however, sure that whatever was placed on my tongue was nothing but good. So what did he say? He goes, no idea what I said. But I felt something. It was Sakina. So I'm certain whatever came out of my mouth must have been good. People then questioned him in turn. So another person came, because Abu Mufazzab, tell us. He said the same. He said, I don't know what I said. Eventually, Sa'ad ibn Abi Waqas heard about this, radiallahu. So Sa'ad came to our camp. Look how interesting. He's the Amir. He doesn't tell him to come. He goes to see him. And he asked, Ya Abu Mufazzir, rahmatullah alayh, what did you say to them? By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they are all now fleeing. So he looked at the Amir and he says, Oh Amir, I will say to you what I've said to others. I have no idea. Special Sakina came over me, but I'm sure it was something good. So Sa'ad radiallahu anhu, he thereupon announced that an attack be launched and the soldiers thus stood in battle formation as our catapults flung boulders at the enemy. However, neither could anyone now be seen in the city, nor did anyone emerge. Only one man came out seeking protection. So Sa'ad thought about what Abu Mufazzil said. And he was thinking, this may be a trap. Right? So he hasn't put his guard down. He goes into battle formation and he goes, fire the catapults. Obviously, there's nobody there. So one man comes out. He goes, look, please, give me protection. So when we granted him amnesty, he said, there is no one left here. What is now keeping your back from entering? Why are you attacking an empty city? Some men thereupon scaled the walls to unlock the gates. And when we entered as victors, indeed, we found nothing and no one. All we achieved was capturing some people who were still leaving the city. When we asked them, and the man who would ask for protection, what it was that made you flee, they explained that when the emperor sent his messenger to request for a treaty, your reply frightened him. So they asked, what did our man say? Look how strange. They're asking them, what did our man say? So they're thinking, why are you asking this? But they memorized it. So they said, your man said this. There shall never be any treaty between us until we eat the honey of Afrizin, of Kutha, with the citron of Kutha. That's all he said. So now what does that mean to me and you? Nothing. Why did that fly in the hell out of these people? So let's say again, what did the man say? He goes, your man said, there shall never be any treaty between us until we eat the honey of Afrizin with the citron of Kutha. So the scholars explain, stop in the report. What is the honey of Afrizin? This is a place between Al-Ray and Naysabur. So it was actually a place which is known only to the locals. So he first mentioned a place. We're going to eat the honey of Afrizin with the citron. What's the citron? It is a fruit like an apple whose color is yellow and skin is smooth. So it's an apple, but it looks like an apple. Its color is yellow, its skin is smooth. It's a fruit of the area. Then he said, of Kutha. What's Kutha? The place in the land of Babylon where Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam was born and thrown into the fire. So simply put, Allah Ta'ala inspired the Tabi'een with knowledge of that land. As if he was saying, where are you going to hide? Then the emperor, when he heard this, the emperor exclaimed, alas, the angels are speaking on their tongues. The angels are speaking on their tongues, i.e., for they are now mentioning the delicacies from the locations of our lands as if they have been living here. It is a reply of the angels spoken on the tongue of the Arabs. By Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, even if it was not so, these are the words that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala placed on the tongue of that man to stop us from fighting them. We should all now retreat to the city of Puswa. Subhanallah. So what happened? Allah Ta'ala did not want them to fight anymore. So he sent an angel to speak on the tongue of this man, Abu Mufazzir. Now look how interesting. He's a tabi'in. Allah Ta'ala did not send the angel to speak on the tongue of a sahaba. So it's very significant. Allah Ta'ala is doing that for a reason. And just enough for the emperor to get the message. As if to say, we know your lands. But they didn't. Abu Mufassir, I don't know what I said. Well, they packed their bags, get out of here, because we're not going to fight these people. The honored soul whom the sinless angels used as a vehicle to speak from was Abu Mufassir, a tabi'in who was a seasoned warrior poet who fought side by side with both Khalid bin Walid and Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas in the campaigns they had led, i.e. in Persia and in against the Romans. He was later Sa'd's messenger with Jalula's captives to the Amir al-Mu'mineen Umar radiyallahu. So he wasn't obviously tabi'in's tabi'in, but he was like Ka'ka. He fought on Khalid's side and also Sa'd's. Allah Ta'ala honored him. And later, when Jalula's captives were sent back to the capital, Sa'd sent him. He goes, you go and send the captives to the Amir al-Mu'mineen. Thus, the victorious Muslim army eventually entered Buharsir peacefully, western Madain. Now look how touching it is. When that messenger came, he is now being given an honor which Amir al-Mu'mineen had. We all know Umar, the angel spoke from his tongue. So I think Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas wanted Umar to know Allah Ta'ala has also given a tabi'in this honor. So look how touching that is. Allah Ta'ala is honoring people who deserve the honor. But his name is Abu Mufazzir. After Sa'd had secured western Madain, Buharsir, he now wanted to immediately cross the river Tigris to the capital Madain itself. But subhanallah, he found that all the bridges had been severed and all the ships had been taken or destroyed. Thus, there was now a major obstacle to his objective. So the Persians, they've now completely lost it. He goes, angels are speaking from their tongues. He goes, they're destroying his left, right and center. So now they've destroyed the bridges, imagine. So they can't even go. And the ships. And don't forget, to get to the capital, you've got to cross that river. The river Tigris has to be crossed. If there's no bridges and there's no ships or boats, how are you going to get to them? So Sa'd ibn Abi Waqas is thinking. He goes, we need to, you know, the capital, that's the objective Amir al-Mu'mineen gave us. But we'll discuss that tomorrow, inshallah. So all I mentioned today was basically the march towards the capital, i.e. al-Madain. And not amazing things are taking place. But the miracles, like I mentioned again and again, most of them take place on the battlefield because these are the Mujahids. And they certainly deserve the honor given to them by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And I mentioned that western Madain, Buharsir, fell, i.e. to the Muslims, due to a miracle which Allah Ta'ala manifested at the hands of one of the noble tabi'in. Are there any questions you'd like to ask? سبحان الله بحمده سبحانك اللهم وبحمدك اشهد ان لا اله الا انت استغفرك واتوب اليك واعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم سبحان ربك رب العزه عما يصفون وسلام على المرسلين والحمد لله رب العالمين بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم والاصل ان الانسان لفي خسر الذين امنوا وعملوا الصالحات ونواصل بالحق ونواصل بالصبر صدق الله العظيم